Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Future Brew, Michigan football recruiting podcast here on maizeandbrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. We are down one of our podcast members today, but I am so thankful to be joined, as always, by my good friend, Maize and Brew recruiting contributor, John Simmons. John, how you doing today, man?
Good. Hope you had a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone out there.
Yeah, I agree. I myself had a good Christmas. I kept it as low key as possible. Saw a few family members and exchanged some gifts and all of that. And I hope you did a somewhat similar thing there, John. And I hope our listeners did as well. And hope everybody has a safe New Year coming up this Friday too. But sticking to recruiting. There's not a ton really going on. We'll get to something in the 22 class in a little bit, but I did want to kind of dive in to the transfer portal options for the 21 class here, or not really the 21 class, I suppose, but guys who would be coming in along with the freshman incoming 2021 class. And a couple guys of note here that Matt Dudek, the recruiting director, has been following on Twitter over the last week or so, and there's a trend here, John. They're all on the defensive side of the ball, and they're pretty much all at positions of need. These guys that Dudek has been following on Twitter, and they've, for the most part, been following him back. Now, one of the options did go off the board this weekend. And that's Timothy Horn, the defensive tackle for Charlotte. He ended up committing to Kansas State. So that is one guy that you can cross off the list there. But still, a few defensive tackles, one cornerback and one linebacker that I think we should highlight here today that Michigan is definitely reaching out to. And I would imagine that they're probably in the recruitment here for all of these guys, a couple guys in particular, I think they really have a good shot with. And let's just start with one of those guys, and that's Mohamed Diallo, the defensive tackle, who is a former Central Michigan Chippewa, Fire Up Chips. He is listed at 305 pounds on their website. He started four games this year. John had 19 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks. So he didn't get a ton of playing time here just because of the pandemic and everything going on, but he made the most of it. And he also played his college ball at the JUCO level, and he also had a season at Texas A&M. So this would be his final season of college football, wherever he ends up transferring to. You would imagine that with the pipeline to CMU, with Shane Morris going from Ann Arbor to CMU, and then Mike Dana coming from CMU to Michigan a couple years ago, and then you have the Sharon Moore connection there as well. This is probably one of the guys that you have the best chance with, just given the in-state ties here and the relationship that Michigan has with CMU. I would imagine that if Michigan doesn't end up landing him, that they would be one of the finalists in this recruitment. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I'm glad we started with Diallo because I think he's the top guy to consider for sure if you're Michigan. You know, he's local. He has performed probably the best, I think, out of the realistic defensive tackle options that Michigan's pursuing right now. He got first team MAC this year, which wasn't, you know, it was an abbreviated game, so stats weren't that great, but he's obviously performed well. I think he's good size, 6'4", 305. He's over 300 pounds, which all of these guys are. Which
ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Get him on board.
Every fan's ears.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. That's all they need. Yeah, he's taken a weird path. He was from Canada, then had to go to JUCO and A&M, like you said. And now I think Michigan's fortunate they ended up at an in-state directional school. And they already showed that Dana had success taking the same path as Diallo would. I mean, he's already contributing in the NFL. I think he's already exceeding expectations of what even Michigan fans thought he would come in before he performed here. So I think that's probably my number one guy, and I think he's the most realistic too. So hopefully this is the one that works out.
Yeah, given the position of need and the production that he had at CMU this year, and the fact that He is an in-state guy. I think this probably is the best chance that Michigan has at landing a defensive tackle that's currently in the portal right now. I think if he comes to Ann Arbor, he would probably be one of those instant plug-and-play guys. He could play right alongside Chris Hinton, or I guess just depending on if Carlo Kemp's back. I don't think Kemp's coming back, though. But you could probably play him right alongside Chris Hinton and have a pretty decent pairing there on the interior defensive line. Obviously, you're going to need some depth as well. So perhaps one of these other defensive tackles that Matt Dudek is following on Twitter could end up coming to Ann Arbor with Diallo, if that is the case for him. Let's go to another player who he played in the Big Ten the last few seasons and started the last two seasons at Penn State, and that's Antonio Shelton. He's another defensive tackle, even bigger than Diallo. He's listed at 327 pounds. This past year, he had 14 tackles, 14 and a half for loss, 3.5 sacks, a forced fumble, and a pass deflected. And the previous year, he had 17 tackles, 4 for loss, and half a sack. This would also be his final year of college football. So, again, the track record isn't there like it is for Diallo. Shelton, obviously, just starting the last two seasons here at Penn State. The stats don't pop out to you, but he would be another one of those guys that, at the very least, he's a run a gap contributor there. He's not going to be a pass rush specialist by any means. He's not going to be like a Mo Hurst who just buries the center and gets to the quarterback with ease, but he would still absolutely bring quite a bit to Ann Arbor if he did end up committing to Michigan. What do you think about Antonio Shelton being a prospect of Matt Dudek and Sean Nua, and I guess really whoever the defensive coaches are here when it's all said and done?
Yeah, Shelton is pretty low ranked out of high school. He was a 82-84. I think Capazzi is in the 1400s ranked overall. I was kind of surprised to see the Penn State landed him, usually because they don't really dip that far down. But he is from a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. So I think Michigan fans would like that. They're always screaming to recruit Ohio more. So I think they would like him for that. He is, I think, like you mentioned, not really a pass rush guy. He's the heaviest out of all these guys at 327 pounds. So I think he's more of the stout, you know, gap filler that's going to just clog up holes in the middle and probably be better in the run. I do like that, you know, after the first 3 years on campus, he didn't really do much, you know, statistically wise. But this past year, in, you know, fewer games, he produced a lot more. He tripled his sack career high. And he's making, you know, I think a bigger contribution. So I think there may still be a little bit of ceiling there to tap into if Michigan wanted to go after him. I think, you know, intra-division transfers like this from one big school to another can be pretty rare. So I'm wondering, you know, what type of school Shelton's looking to go after. But I think if Michigan wanted him, given the proximity to, you know, his hometown and Michigan's need, I think it would be a good fit.
Yeah, maybe not an instant starter in my mind like Diallo would be, but at the very least, he would be a depth piece that, I mean, Michigan needs it. They need guys along that interior defensive line, whether it's starting, depth guys. They need anybody, really. You know, maybe think of like a Brian Monet kind of guy who doesn't really start, but he comes off the bench and provides some meaningful snaps there. So that could be an option for the Wolverines moving forward in the transfer portal. Let's stick with defensive tackle since Matt Dudek has been busy diving into the tape, I'm sure, of these defensive tackles and the guys that are in the portal. And we'll go to the ACC for this next guy, Duke Blue Devil. And that's Derek Tangelo, the defensive tackle there, listed at 310 pounds. So again, all these guys listed over 300 pounds. So that is welcome news to Michigan fans all over in regards to defensive line recruiting. In terms of his production, he started 17 games out of the 34 total career games that he's had. And this past season actually performed pretty well. He had 40 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, and a pass deflected, which was a big step up from last season in which he only had 23 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. Again, this would be his final year of college football, so you only get 1 year out of him. But another interesting option here for Michigan, if you're considering that he's had experience, he's contributed on the stat sheet as soon as this past season he did, and he has starting experience in a Power 5 conference. So this is another really intriguing option here, John, that I think Michigan would be very happy taking in.
Yeah, he's someone I think is probably on the same level as Shelton to me. Probably not a starter, but would make a good experience rotation guy. You know, he started for a few years at Duke. He looks like his sophomore and senior years are about in line of what his talent is. He probably got hurt or something in his junior year and played fewer games. But I think he's another guy that is not going to flash, you know, and be an outstanding guy that you rely on. But he's a body. And if Michigan strikes out another guys in the portal, then, yeah, he's definitely someone you can add. And I think, you know, coming from Duke, I think he'd be a pretty good culture fit as well.
So those are the defensive tackles that Dudek has followed on Twitter over the last few days or week or so. Let's move over to the defensive backfield because they're going to need some help at corner as well. For as bad as the defensive line really looked this past year, you could argue that the cornerback position was worse with those guys not really getting a ton of successful, you know, no real big turnovers or anything. I think this guy would be an interesting option. A guy that Dudek followed recently who is in the transfer portal is Jamie Robinson, who is a defensive back who played in the SEC at South Carolina. And the difference between Robinson and the other guys that we mentioned is he's only going to be a junior next year. So he's going to have a couple years left in the tank to contribute in the defensive backfield. So this could be a pretty interesting addition here. He's 5'11", 195. As a true freshman, he started three games, played in 12 total, had 62 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, an interception, 5 passes deflected, and a forced fumble. And this past season, he stepped up as well with 74 tackles, 2 for loss, 1 interception, and 5 passes deflected again. And he also handled kick return duties his freshman season, and he handled punt return duties this past season. So a really versatile guy who you could probably throw right in there, whether you want to play him on the outside or at the nickel spot on defense. And then you also have the potential for him to be a return guy if you don't want somebody back there who is punt returning or kick returning. Obviously, I think you leave Giles Jackson for kick return, so perhaps put him back there for punts. And you've got a real Swiss Army knife kind of guy that, again, they've been lacking versatile guys who have been making big plays like that with 5 passes deflected both his freshman and sophomore season, as well as a couple picks there throughout his career. Could make a really nice addition if Michigan pushes here.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit a notch above most guys that enter the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, South Carolina fired Will Muschamp this year, so he's probably looking to go somewhere else. And, you know, he's performed really well. He's a day one starter as a freshman, was a freshman All-SEC selection, and, got some All-American, freshman All-American love too. And so I think he's performed really well. He used to be a Michigan target too. It wasn't super serious, but I do remember his name coming up a little bit in the 2019 cycle. So I like that he can play. He still has a few more years of eligibility. He's performed well on the field so far. He's got the versatility. Like you said, nickel or safety, you can move him around the field a lot. So I think he would be a pretty interesting guy to go after. I would definitely like to see him added to the roster for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you nailed it that this is going to be probably one of the more coveted guys in the transfer portal in terms of, schools reaching out to him. I think he's probably going to get some real attention here, probably from some other SEC programs as well. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bamas of the world would want to go after him. He's a young player with some promise and would make a fine addition wherever he ends up going. The last guy here that I want to mention, and thank you, John, for bringing him up because it totally slipped my mind when we were planning for this podcast, is a guy that Dudek does not follow on Twitter because I don't believe he has a Twitter, and that's Treshawn Hayward, and he is a linebacker who played at Western Michigan University. He's from Ypsilanti and went to Skyline High School in Ann Arbor, so there are some ties there as well. So, again, kind of like Diallo, there's some connections here that would really make you believe that Michigan is a legitimate contender in this recruitment. This past season for the Broncos, he had 50 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and half a sack, and that was in 5 games. So he was averaging 10 tackles a game. That's pretty good. In 13 games last year, he had a whopping 142 tackles, and that's not a typo on Western's website. I hope not, at least. 10.5 for loss, 5 sacks, 1 pass deflected, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. This would also be his final season of college football, like most of the other guys that we mentioned. So, again, with the way that – I guess just the defense played in general this past season, it really wasn't good. But I was really really disappointed in the way that the linebackers played. Josh Ross, he didn't look like the guy that he once was. Cam McGrone definitely didn't look like the guy that he was last year when he burst onto the scene when Josh Ross got hurt. So any addition that is going to make everybody better is one that, in my opinion, you definitely try and take a swing at. And I think Hayward is one of those guys that would make guys better in the room moving forward, not only just for the one season that he would be in Ann Arbor, but I think he brings a lot to the table that hopefully the younger guys like Khalil Mullings and Nakai Hill-Green would take to heart and maybe transition into their game as well. So could be a very good pickup here for Michigan. Again, if they even really want to compete here. Again, Dudek's not following him, so I'm not sure if there's any interest there because he doesn't have a Twitter, but would be, again, another good addition here to the defense, John.
Yeah, he would definitely be someone that was like the Mike Dana recruitment a couple of years ago, someone who's transferring up from a G5 school after, you know, being one of the best players in his conference and seeing if he has the chops to make it, you know, in a Power 5 league and trying to improve his draft stock. So I think that's what Hayward would be looking for, and I think it would definitely make sense for Michigan to pursue him there. There's not a lot of experience in the linebacker room right now. They have a lot of talented guys, but they're all pretty young. So I think adding a fifth-year senior who's just a tackle machine, puts up tons of production at Western, I think that would be a really good addition just for leadership and kind of setting the tone. And I think it would also be great for Hayward to – you know, try and prove himself against some of the best competition that college football has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well take a swing at this recruitment here if you're looking to upgrade the linebacker corps, which at this point, the way that they played the linebackers last year, they need to do something. Either play the younger guys or take in a transfer portal option like Hayward. You know, I think he would probably be one of the better additions. Like you said, it really is kind of similar to Dana in terms of the best production in the MAC as far as statistics go and just the way that he played. I mean, he showed up in pretty much every single game. So, yeah, you take a swing at a guy like that with the ties that he has to the Ann Arbor area, him attending Skyline High School, being from Ypsilanti. Yeah, why not? You might as well take a shot if you're Michigan hoping to improve on any position, really, in the portal. You definitely go for it. It's pretty much like free agency at this point. So might as well take a shot. Those are the guys that Dudek has been following on Twitter outside of Hayward. And we will definitely bring you guys the latest if there are any other additions to the portal that we think that they'll have a shot at or think that they'll go after at some point. But those guys that we just mentioned, those five guys are probably the ones that Michigan is going to contend with the most in terms of guys currently in the portal. So we will take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the latest 22 edition for Michigan. But first, let's talk about our latest sponsor here on Maize and Brew Podcast, and that is Homefield. Homefield is a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. And not only is their stuff comfy, but it is officially licensed gear, so they really don't screw around when it comes to their designs. The team Over at Homefield, they study every school's history, traditions, and legacies to create thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university. And they launched their Michigan line earlier this year, and they really do have some amazing original designs that you will not find anywhere else. From t-shirts to crew necks, they have everything you need to stay cozy while rooting for your favorite team this bowl season. So if you are looking for some vintage apparel, look no further than Homefield and use the promo code MNB to get 20% off your first order. And MNB as in Maize and Brew, that will get you 20% off. Not just one item, but your entire order. So use that promo code at checkout, homefieldapparel.com. If you didn't shop for Homefield apparel for the holidays this year, you really missed out. I bought some stuff from Homefield for my family this holiday season, and they loved it. Fit actually really well, and it's really soft stuff as well. So if you're looking for something to stay cozy this holiday season, this winter, go to homefieldapparel.com, promo code MNB. And we are back and over the holiday break, so to speak. I didn't really have much of a holiday break, but I'm sure most of the normal world did. But Connor Jones, the 22 offensive lineman from Monument, Colorado, that we actually discussed on our last podcast, John, he ended up committing to Michigan on Christmas Eve, a little bit of an early Christmas gift for Ed Warner and those guys. He is number 776 overall on the composite, listed at 6'7", 285, picked Michigan over Northwestern, Indiana, Virginia, and a handful of other schools. He ended up visiting Michigan a couple weekends ago and came away very impressed with what he saw, and he visited Northwestern and Indiana that same weekend as well, but obviously liked Michigan the most to end up committing to the Wolverines. So he is the first offensive lineman in Michigan's 2022 class. He was one of Ed Warner's top targets, and it's good to get top targets locked up so soon. Kind of reminiscent of a Giovanni El Hadi recruitment there, where you send the offer, and not long after what he saw, he ended up committing. So a good pickup there in terms of potential. John, you wrote up a scouting report, which is live now on maizeandbrew.com. If you haven't checked that out yet, go do so. What do you like from Connor Jones, and what do you think he needs to improve upon before he gets to Michigan?
Well, you know, Warner has a type for his left tackle prospects. He really likes them tall and lean. I think he's had a 6'7 guy in the last three classes, and Jones is going to be this guy now. So he's got the true left tackle frame, and he's a little bit farther along in that development. Most of these guys have been, you know, like former tight ends like Ryan Hayes or Jeffrey Percy, who, you know, grow into the position. But I think Jones has been playing it for more often. He's already 290, so I think he's a little bit further ahead, which is a good thing. But despite that size, he's has good bend and flexibility. I think he can get down and play with good leverage. I really like his hand placement and his engagement with defenders. He locks on to guys, and he doesn't let them go. He, you know, drives them and finishes blocks. But I do think there are some more glaring flaws that I think most Michigan prospects don't have. There's a couple plays on the game that I watched that just, you know, shouldn't be happening to a Power 5 guy. A lot of them with his footwork. I know Steven in our last podcast threw in that he was really worried about his footwork. And after watching this, I definitely agree. You know, he doesn't move his feet very well getting off blocks, especially run blocking. He's not asked to drive a lot, which is weird. He mostly just kind of takes an inside step and hinges out, and they run the other way. So he just kind of has to wall off the backside tackle. So he doesn't really, you know, move out, take steps off the snap, which, you know, saps all of your power and doesn't get you the momentum that you need to push guys. So I think he has to work on that. He also has to work on, you know, his balance and keeping a wide base. He got tripped up on just a little inside move that the defensive end put on him and put him on his face. So that was a little concerning to see. So I think he's going to have a lot of work to do before he can see the field. But I think Warner really, really likes his tape. You know, he's been a top target for a while. He was one of the first guys to go after Jones and consider offering him. So I think I'm just going to trust Warner in this one. His evaluations are historically really good. So we'll have to see in a few years where he ends up.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week too, is a guy that Ed Warner likes is a guy that Michigan fans should like. He has the track record of developing offensive linemen, whether they're highly ranked or not, coming out of high school. And Connor Jones just happens to be one of those guys that isn't highly ranked at the moment, but could end up developing into a very nice tackle. Kind of like, honestly, in this past class, this 2021 class with Tristan Bounds, at the time that I think he got Michigan got the commitment from Tristan Bounds, he was ranked a lot lower than what he ended at. He ended at 419. I want to say he was in the 600 or 700s when he committed too. I remember him going up in the rankings. Let's see here. He was an 85 on the composite. He's an 88 now. So he moved his way up from when he first got offered and when he committed. So could be another kind of a telling thing here with Connor Jones, perhaps if he's able to get in a good senior season and continue to show out and improve at the left tackle position, which you would imagine is where he would end up at Michigan, whether it's the left or right side, because he has played both in his high school career up to this point. He played on the right side, I want to say his sophomore season, and then played left tackle this past year from the tape that I was watching. And obviously he's a raw kind of guy. He's a developmental prospect, but that's the good thing about offensive linemen. You don't need these guys to come in right away and be a plug and play guy. Michigan's never been the kind of place where you have to rely on a true freshman. Even this past season when Zach Zinter was getting a ton of time, they weren't relying on him necessarily to play at that right guard spot. He was just the better talent of the guys that they had, and obviously they had some injuries and COVID issues. But you've got guys waiting in the wings at the offensive lineman position, whether it's left tackle, center, wherever. And Connor Jones isn't going to be a guy that starts his true freshman season. He's going to be a guy that redshirts 100%. Maybe he competes redshirt freshman season. Maybe it's a little after that. That's the good thing about the way that Michigan has been recruiting offensive line. Because before Ed Warner came to town, they weren't recruiting the offensive line position like they were now. They're taking 4 and 5 guys every cycle at this point. Back when Tim Drevno was coaching the offensive line, there would be times where they would only take 2 guys in a cycle, and you can't do that. And so the way that they've been recruiting offensive line, I have no problems with them wanting to take a guy like Connor Jones that you think has potential but has to wait a little bit, has to get into the college weight room, has to develop some of those key traits that you pinpointed, John. And I think things will be okay at the end of the day, because we had some comments on Mazen Brew from the commitment article about, oh, going after 3 stars, typical Michigan, typical Harbaugh. And it's like, well, pump the brakes. You know, this is what Ed Warner's been doing pretty much his entire career. He's never been a guy that is consistently landing 5-star prospects. This is a guy that has developed and recruited 3 stars consistently, and he's done a pretty good job at it, I would say. So if I'm talking to the Michigan haters at this point, I'm just saying pump the brakes, give the kid a chance to show himself, and it's not going to be an immediate, we need this guy to start.
Yeah, it's definitely the benefit of having so much depth. You can take risks like this and see what happens. I think that's definitely the trajectory that Michigan's been going for with their left tackle guys anyway. But, you know, they've been doing it for a few years. So, you know, when Jones gets to campus, then maybe Percy is up to the level to be able to play. So
yeah,
you just kind of want to keep that that factory line moving and just pumping these guys out. Like Wisconsin, you know, you look over there, you know, they rarely start guys on the offensive line that haven't been on campus for at least 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And I think that experience really helps, you know, having a guy like Ben Bredesen or Mason Cole start 4 years helps them later in their careers. But for the first couple seasons, they look pretty like a liability sometimes. So it's better to have that experience, I think. And, you know, in the world of the transfer portal, things like that, if a guy's not working out, I think it becomes pretty clear, and it's not the worst thing that, you know, maybe the guy decides to leave and get playing time somewhere else, and Michigan can, you know, get a replacement.
Yeah, like Willie Allen. I mean, they just picked up a guy in the transfer portal this 21 cycle here, Willie Allen, on the offensive line. And he's going to be a tackle for Michigan all the way. Whether it's on the left or right side, I would anticipate him being on the right side at this time, just because they've already got Ryan Hayes over on the left side, and he's been pretty good over at left tackle. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that you take these guys and you let them sit and develop and build up the strength needed for Big Ten defensive linemen. It's not like this is a wide receiver pickup by any means. I mean, you know, because those positions you can put out on the field and start right away. Xavier Worthy, I think he's going to be a guy that probably sees, if not starting time, very significant snaps in Michigan's offense next season. He'll probably get some time on special teams as well right away. I would anticipate that. But, yeah, offensive lineman, I mean, this is, in my opinion, it's a fine pickup. He's not going to blow you away with his tape right now, but if you give him a chance to develop all that stuff, I think he could end up being a good prospect under Ed Warner, just given his time in Ann Arbor. He's done some pretty good work with not a ton. I mean, he had to put why am I blanking on his name at left tackle a couple of years ago? I'm blanking on his name, John. Yeah, in the 2019 season. I want to see. Oh, gosh. I'm blanking on the guy's name. I'm sure everybody is yelling at me listening to this right now. He plays on the Green Bay Packers. He got
John
drafted.
Runyon.
John Runyon. I wanted to say John Jansen, but I'm like, nope, that's not right. That's a couple decades old. But yes. Yes, John Runyon. I mean, John Runyon was not a left tackle by any means, and he developed him into a pretty decent left tackle and got him drafted. So, yeah, I would pump the brakes if I'm a Michigan hater, and or not a Michigan hater, but a Michigan offensive line recruiting hater, and give it some time. And you know, the good news here is that the 22 class is building up pretty nice here. They're really honing in on the trenches. Three of their five commits currently are either along the offensive or defensive line, and they're in on a ton of other guys on the line as well. So do you think that they're going to try and build this 22 class from the lines? Because, I mean, with Alex Van Sumeren, the defensive tackle, Connor Jones, offensive tackle, and then Devontae Miles, the defensive tackle, in-state guy, they're really shaping up here to try and establish something along the offensive and defensive lines, which is a pretty good thing to see, considering that a defensive line especially didn't play all that well. But do you think that's kind of the move for this class here, John?
It sure looks like it so far. They're taking, you know, these guys early on, so they have to like them. And I think the goal is to take at least three defensive tackles. They've got two already, which is a really good start. And now they can kind of hunt for maybe the bigger, higher ranked prospects. You're going to have to recruit Van Sumeren a little bit to hold off, you know, like, you know, he wants to visit Alabama and schools like that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to, you know, keep recruiting him to keep him on board. But, you know, his brother's on the team and he's an in-state guy, so it shouldn't be that bad. But yeah, on the defensive line for sure, you also need some depth at defensive end too. And they've got some good options there. So I think, you know, guys like Joe Strickland can play the either end or, you know, the three tech position. I'm trying to avoid saying like anchor or any of that Don Brown terminology. Now that, yeah, he's gone. So, you know, you kind of got to wait for the defensive coordinator to get hired too. So you can kind of see what prospects fit that, their philosophy and who they're going to target. Cause you know, the board could be very different. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward.
It certainly will, and with Don Brown being gone, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they end up sending any other any offers to high-ranked players, you know, kind of avoiding the New England area. That's Don Brown territory, as I typically call it there. It'll be interesting to see moving forward what kind of guys they go after on defense, especially with all of this kind of influx and things changing quick. Yeah, I think that's all the time we got for today there. I appreciate everybody listening and tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at?
@Simmons_John.
And you can follow Maize and Brew on Twitter at Maize and Brew. And be sure to like Maize and Brew on Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And rate and subscribe all of our podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. Go check out Steven Osentoski on the YouTube channel, Maize and Brew. It should pop up right there for you. Give him a subscribe. And yeah, he's doing some good stuff over on the YouTube channel. Hopefully we can get Steven back next week. And I don't know if you saw this, but he slacked us and said he'll be able to join the next one, and that he wants us to mention that he would prefer Michigan to take 17 defensive tackles in the portal for 21. So bold take there. 17 guys.
We're going to start some on offense, too. The whole line's going to be made up of defensive tackles.
Put all 17 guys on defense, and then, we'll have a couple backups there. It'll work out, I'm sure. I'll have to ask Steven about the philosophy there next week. But until then, again, appreciate everybody listening, and we'll be back next week with another podcast. As always, go Blue.